Well, this is a very solemn occasion. Anytime there's a loss of a loved one, it gives us all pause to reflect. I was just walking around here a little while ago and looking at the names of some of these people and thought the day will come when my name will be on one of those markers. Death is a reality, and it is something that we know is coming, and yet when it comes, we are never quite ready for it. And yet, at all times, we are to praise the Lord and to worship Him, and that's what I endeavor to do today. Funerals are for the living. Those that have passed, the matter is settled. But it's a matter of us, by God's grace, bowing to God's will, who gives life and who takes it. And so I want to be of comfort to the family. I want to be a comfort to those that are the Lord's here today. And certainly, apart from the Lord, there is no comfort. There's a little chorus we sing in our congregation, and it's one maybe that you've heard sung before. I'll sing it. It's not difficult. And if you know the words and want to join in, I believe it's important that we come before the Lord with singing and ask Him for a heart to receive His word. This particular chorus is Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Those that are the Lord's can certainly sing that. Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Let's bow in prayer. Precious Father, as I come before you at this time, we acknowledge your will in all things and bow even at this moment, knowing that you've been pleased to take a loved one from us. You're the giver of life, and you take life. And may we have hearts to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I ask that as I open the Word here for a few minutes to speak to this matter of life and death, that you would be pleased to strengthen me to say exactly what you would have me to say, to be of a comfort to those that are yours here, and also to direct all of our hearts to the only hope that there is for any of us, and that is in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life that he lived and his death that he died, and that if he has paid that sin debt for any one of us, our hope is in him. So I pray that you would comfort, strengthen, and bless according to your will. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. I don't have any scripts. I know a lot of preachers come up with a pre-fill-in type of message to give at funerals. That's not me. I've been in much prayer about what the Lord would have me to say, not even knowing who all's here. I know there's family, there's friends, and some of you I know, some I don't. But I do know that the only comfort that we could ever have is going to be in the Word. There's no human words that I can express to give comfort or hope. I love Justin. He grew up right along with my kids. Saw him from time to time coming to worship. Went away for a while. And recently this past year, brought him back. Understood, knew something of his struggles. Drugs, alcohol, these are a terrible plague. I've got a 38-year-old daughter sitting in jail right now that has struggled with the same thing that Justin has struggled with all his life, ever since she's been 17. Why she's alive and Justin is gone, only the Lord knows. But I understand the hurt. I understand the sorrow. I understand the burden of parents, family, children that are affected in this way. I can't tell you how many times I've thought that call could be someone calling to say they found my daughter dead. And how would I respond? I would have to respond the same way as what I'm about to tell you here. And that is how Job responded when they came and told him that every one of his kids had been killed. In a day, one after another, the bad news came. And that's how the Lord's directed me just to read in Job chapter 1. That when the last one came to tell Job that everything was gone, in Job chapter 1, it says here, then Job arose, Job 1:20, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground. It's all right to mourn. There's nothing wrong with crying and expressing grief. It's what we do whenever a loved one is taken. But here's the interesting part of Scripture where it says, and worshiped. I will tell you that the only reason he could worship was because the Spirit of God was in him. And I will tell you the only way I can worship right now and even begin with singing what we did, Jesus' name above all names, is because of how the Lord has taught me over the years. I've buried two children of my own. And I've lived with three others, praying for them, but to this day, as far as I can tell, none of them the Lord has taught of His grace and mercy. And yet they were raised in a home where they were pointed to Christ as needy sinners. But in every case, I bow. I couldn't do it if it were not for the Spirit of God giving me that spirit of worship. Or else we'd be just like anybody else with our fists raised in the face of God and asking why. How can this be? So that's the example we have of Job. He fell down on the ground. That's the sorrow, yes, but worshiped. Worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And this is the part I want us to hear. Drugs did not take Justin. The Lord did. It was his time. The Lord purposed that he live the life he lived and die how he died. As tragic as it is to us, I can't imagine. And yet, may the Lord grant us his spirit of what he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And then he said this, blessed be the name of the Lord. I will tell you, that's our only comfort, to know that our days are in the hands of the Lord. In fact, the Scriptures say he's determined those days before we ever live them out. I'm as surprised as anybody that I've lived to see 62. And yet here I am. And then you take Justin 28, the Lord's taken him away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Only one can say that whom the Lord has taught. And so even in this most tragic event, I say the Lord so purposed. And if for nothing else, the exercise of our own heart. The Lord's taken Justin, but here we are. What goes through your mind and heart of mine as we stare at the casket, as we look around and see how many the Lord has already taken from this world? It's a reminder that life is not ours. It's a gift. We're here for a moment and then we depart. It's a reminder also that nothing we have is ours. I know we talk about our children, but they're not ours. They're a gift from the Lord. They're heritage. And He's given them to us on loan. And when He's pleased to take them, He'll take them. Such is His will. That's the God of the Bible. But one last verse here in verse 22. It says, in all this, when you think about all the tragedy that he experienced in a day, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. There are some that will charge God foolishly. There's some that get upset at me for even declaring that this is the will of the Lord. They'll say, not my God. Well, there aren't two gods. Let us beware of charging God foolishly and thinking that in any way there was a mistake in how he ordered Justin's life or his death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, and this is my comfort. I will tell you, ever since I learned of Justin's death, the Lord has directed me to the Word. I don't have a script. But these are verses that the Lord has laid on my heart. Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. So that's what we're doing right now, considering, weighing. God also has set one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. We don't determine our days. If the Lord will, we do what we do. We'll live to tomorrow. But tomorrow's not ours. The only day we have is right now. We all heard tragically just a few months ago when they were having a funeral and people were coming to the funeral and someone crossed Mansfield Road and was hit and was killed. Coming to the funeral. These are things we don't determine. It's the Lord. But he set one against the other, lest we should put any confidence in this flesh, and that we consider who he is and what will be our state when the Lord takes us from this world. I'll tell you, there is nothing more important than to consider the work of God, not only in life, but in death, and to consider what is a true hope. And that's the point that I want to leave with you today. That apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from Him coming into this world and taking on Him the charge of the sin of that people that God purposed to save from eternity and laying down His life to pay the sin debt, there is no hope for anybody. I know people will say, well, that's awful narrow. Yes, it is. Narrow is the gate, the scriptures say. Straight is that gate that leads to life eternal. It is appointed unto man once to die, but then after that, the judgment. And so that's why Christ came and died. The only hope for any is that Christ, when he died, he paid my debt. And I know this, that it's times like these where the Lord causes us to consider what is our eternal state. It's in the Lord's hands. Life eternal is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life eternal. In his prayer before he went to the cross, he said he thanked his Father that the Father had given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life unto as many as the Father had given him. So I don't know right now your state of heart before the Lord. I pray we not be, as I've mentioned before in preaching, like cattle just grazing away, and here comes the truck to take one off the market, and all the cattle look up for a while, and when the truck disappears, they go right back to eating as if nothing was. Sadly, that's the case of so many. It's tragic at the moment, but then after that, there are ways of just putting it out of your mind and thinking, all right, move on. But there's no moving on apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is no other message that Justin could give us today, were he here, it would be exactly what I'm telling you. There is no other hope. I'm thankful for the times that he came and sat and listened, even though he was struggling. I don't know what work the Lord may have been doing in his heart. I know he was burdened. And let's be careful not to condemn one like him who suffered the way he did with his addiction and think that somehow he was worse off than people sitting in pews today in congregations and places of worship that are oblivious to their own state before God. Could be one of us sitting here. It's not how we dress that makes a difference. I will tell you, the Lord came to save sinners. And when I read the scriptures, they're not the kind of sinners that we think. They're not the prim and proper. They're the down and outers. They're the ones that had no hope. But in the end, we bow. Whatever the Lord's will is, may we take our thoughts, even from what I've read from Job. I know Aaron, who was a high priest in the Old Testament, his sons rebelled against the Lord. Lord took him out in an instant, two sons. But the scriptures say Aaron held his peace, even though it meant condemnation for his sons. He didn't try to find a way around it or find excuses. It was what the Lord had done, and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Eli was a priest of the Lord in the Old Testament. The Lord took his sons. And when he was told, his answer was, it is the Lord. Let him do what he will. May the Lord grant us that spirit. And as I said, this is for us. This is for those of us that are here today, hearing, reflecting. May the Lord grant us hearts to look to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's one other song we'll sing, and then I'll close with prayer. Some of us know this. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I trust we can sing this to his honor. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we've heard your word. Now we commend these family members and those present to you. May you grant us a spirit to bow. May you grant us a spirit to learn even from Justin's death. I know there are some here present that probably would never have heard a message pointing us to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had it not been through Justin's death. But my prayer is that you not leave us to ourselves, that we go from here reflecting and considering that our life is but a vapor, and that death knows no age, but it's according as you determine. So I pray that we'd go from here asking that you teach us of our own need, more than anything else in this world, our need of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you so please, grant grace to look to him alone and his shed blood and what he accomplished for sinners such as we are. And I'm mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.